so I know what it is to be balancing a whole lot of hats. And I know that's what you guys are doing right now. And so you are working out in the workforce, and you are caring for parents, and you are caring for children, and you are trying to balance soccer mom or dad. I don't know what all is on your plate. But sometimes we get saved, and we're going on this journey, and God really burdens us for a ministry, and we're super excited about it for about 30 seconds until somebody doesn't do what we want them to do in our ministry, right? So they're in the ministry, and maybe we don't see the fruit of our labor immediately. Or maybe we feel like we're not making a huge impact in the ministry, and we're really pressing through. But you just get flat out exhausted. And so I want to talk to you today about just a few things that I've learned in the ministry. Let me say this about single-parent ministry, because I think it's important for you to understand this. So for many years when I began the single parent ministry, I was working 80 hours a week in corporate America, and then I was doing volunteer work with the church full time for single moms. And so what happened is I'm putting in all of this work during the week, and I'm a mom, and I'm a wife, and I'm also trying to minister to the needs of single parents. And it's a very high level, high need ministry. In that particular ministry, there's always a crisis. And I think that's probably true for, is there anybody that's working where there's never a crisis in your ministry? Okay, so there's always a crisis in ministry. That's when people come to us for prayer and for counseling and for assistance. And so you are trying to put out fire after fire after fire, and then it's just, it's very difficult for you to sometimes want to persevere. Sometimes it's just easier to give up and say, well, I never get a thank you. Nobody notices that I'm doing it anyway. I'm not making that big of an impact, so I'm just going to give up. So my heart for you today is that you don't give up. And if I don't say anything else that you remember, my heart for you is for you to know that your church values you, that they could not do what they're doing without you. So thank you. Thank you for what you do every day for your kids, for those in your family, and for your ministry. It means something to someone. So please don't quit. Okay? So I'm going to get very practical. And I will talk very fast because we only have a little bit of time together. So I'm just warning you ahead of time about that. If you signed in, you will get these notes. I generally do not do a handout simply because you guys are getting tons of handouts from lots of other places as well, and it's going to wind up in the trash somewhere. If we email it to you later, you're more likely to read it and save it for a time when it's really needed in your life. Okay, so how many of you have gotten into a place in your ministry? Well, let me ask you this. How many of you are brand new at ministry, maybe less than 6 months? Okay. So most of you in the room are much more than 6 months. How many of you have been in the ministry past a year? Past five? 10? Okay. So at least 5 years, several of you have been doing this for a long time. Okay. Do you get to a point where you look around in your ministry and you say, is what I'm doing making a difference in anyone else's life? Is what I'm doing right now, every day in this ministry, whether it's a Sunday school class you're facilitating, whether it's children's ministry, whether it's tech team, I have no idea. Is this making an impact? It's the biggest question that all of us want to know. It's what we want to know on our jobs. It's what we want to know in our families. It's what we want to know in our ministry. Is my life making a difference? Is this ministry making an impact? How can I go on when the needs that are around me are so great? How can I continue to push through when there are so many single parents that haven't been reached yet? How can I push through when there are so many kids and they're disruptive? How can I push through when it seems like Houston continues to grow and grow and grow? Are we making an impact? You know, I was thinking about earlier, and I'll just share this with you. God's hand has been on our ministry's reached around 50,000 people. And God's hand has been on it. It's been wonderful to see all that he's done and the doors that he's opened. And yet, if I'm not careful, every morning when I get up and I look at my team, the question is, what are we really doing here? It's just easier to go back and get a regular job, not be in ministry, not talk to people who don't care that much about what you're doing. It's just easier to go back and do something traditional. I feel that way every day, and yet God's hand has been on the ministry. And look at this church. Is there any denying that God's hand is all over this church? Look at the growth you've had. Look at the people you're reaching. Look at the ministry opportunities you've had. God's hand is on this place. And yet there are some times when you say, what am I doing to make any difference at all? It was only when I became completely exhausted and actually angry with the people I was serving that I realized that I needed to take a look at the exhaustion that I was facing in my life and the spiritual exhaustion. So if you're angry at the people in your ministry because they're not doing what you want them to do, it's probably a good sign that you're suffering with spiritual exhaustion. So let's talk through that. So the first thing, and these, I'm just going to go through tips that I've learned. The first one is you need to know your role. Too many people in leadership at the church think that their role is to fix people. Your role never has been, nor will it ever be, to fix anybody. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's already been taken care of. Your role is to point people to the one who can fix them. And there was somebody in your life at some time when you've been on your spiritual journey and perhaps you got off course and maybe things weren't going quite the way that your parents or someone in your life wanted them to go. And they looked at you and they thought, why does she or he keep making that same choice over and over and over again? Hadn't we already talked about this? Hadn't I prayed for them about this? That may be where some of the people in your ministry are right now. And that can be very, very frustrating. It can be frustrating when you're not seeing fruit and you've worked really hard to plant those seeds. But once we understand that we aren't trying to fix anyone, that we're just trying to love people, we're trying to meet them where they are, we're trying to show them the love of Christ, we're trying to be compassionate and not judgmental with them, once we understand that, there's great freedom in that. And so once you experience that freedom, then what you're operating in is the Holy Spirit. You're just operating in your gifts and talents that the Lord has already given you, and it doesn't become burdensome. It's light because you've given the ministry to God. You're not trying to take it for yourself. When we try to take it for ourselves, that's when exhaustion sets in. So you're trying to fix too many things. We've never been equipped to fix anybody at any time. Okay, so when you're struggling with things like strength and courage and patience, you have to understand that that comes from where? What are the fruits of the Spirit? What are the fruits of the Spirit? God's already accounted for those things. So we go back into that. Second thing is rest. This one is a hard one for people in ministry because we have an innate desire because of what God's done for us. We want to do those things for others. And that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing, is service to others. When I talk about rest, what I find a lot of times is that people serve and serve and serve, and you've got 8,000 members in the church, and not even having talked to your leadership team, I have no idea. I would guarantee you that there's probably about 10% of the people in this church are actually doing 90% of the work. It's the truth. It happens in every church across the country, is that there are a group of people that are the servers, they're the volunteers, they're the lead team, they're the ones that show up early and stay late. And then everybody else is consuming. And so you guys get really exhausted. And then what happens is you don't want to rest because you feel guilty. Well, if I take a break, then Sally's going to fall through the cracks. If I take a break, then that ministry's not going to go on successfully. It can't survive without me. One of the things we talked about in the last session was about you as leaders constantly looking for other people in the ministry that can take your place. That should be your litmus test as a leader, as that you are looking for your replacement. That's really what effective leaders do. And it doesn't mean that you take a break for an extended period of time. Maybe it does for a season, but what it means is you're always looking for people that can replace you. You're not irreplaceable. You may feel like that you are, but this is God's ministry, and whatever you're in, it's His heart for that group of people you're serving. And so He's going to bring people to help you. When you rest, what that means is that you have to set up the boundaries when you're resting. And so maybe that looks like for you, some churches take off 3 months during the summer, and maybe certain Bible studies don't run during the summer so that there can be a break. I don't know if that's true for your church. Some churches do that. Maybe some churches take off for extended period during the holiday season. Whatever that looks like for you, if your church has already set up some type of rest method for you, then you need to adhere to that. If they haven't, then you need to have partners in your ministry that can take your role. Whatever that looks like, You need to be thinking now. In fact, even as I'm saying that, God's beginning to lay people on your heart. You say, you know, maybe John can help me with this ministry. You need to have a team of people that can step in. My sister teaches Sunday school, and she teaches kindergartners. She's taught them for 5 years now. She has never missed a Sunday in 5 years. And we live about 2.5 hours apart. If she spends the night with me on a Saturday night, she gets up really early on Sunday morning, and she drops back. And I said, when do you ever take a break? And she said, well, there's nobody else to teach them when I'm not there, so they don't meet. And I said, you know, that's not healthy. It's not healthy for her. It's not healthy for the church body. It's not healthy for the kids. There should constantly be people that are stepping up in volunteer roles in your church. Okay, so let's talk through, I mentioned boundaries. Let me talk through boundaries. Sometimes we can struggle with our boundaries. Part of the reasons we struggle is because we don't set them in the first place. So we step into a leadership role. Most of you probably did not step into a leadership role here at the church. You were probably asked. You probably didn't ask someone if you could lead. Someone probably saw something in you and said, you know, I think that you'd be a really great leader in this ministry. Would you like to attend a leadership class? That's how most leadership evolves. Because we haven't thought through what our boundaries are and haven't established them, we wonder why we get in the middle of ministry and we're flat out exhausted. Now, I cannot establish your boundaries for you because it's going to look different for each one of you depending on what season of life you're in. But let me give you some examples of what boundaries are. If it's very important to you that your family eat dinner together at 6 p.m. every evening, then that means that you don't take phone calls at 6 p.m. with people regarding your ministry, or really phone calls for anybody for that matter. If you establish a rule, one of the rules that I have for myself in my ministry is I do not return a crisis phone call within 24 hours. Now, that may seem odd to you. It's a crisis phone call. Well, when you've been doing single parent ministry for a decade, you understand that every phone call is a crisis phone call. And sometimes, truthfully, sometimes that 24-hour period is when they learn to lean on God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you aren't careful, people in your ministry will begin to see you as their God and not develop a relationship with the Lord. And so you're not the answerer of their problems.
Yeah.
So establishing the boundary gives them sometimes an opportunity to begin to develop that relationship. And then my first question to them is, what has God told you about it? What have you prayed about? What has he spoken into your heart about it? What does his word say about it? What scriptures have you been looking at? I mean, I got to know what's going on with them and the Lord before I'm going to try to come in and do something that God hasn't done? Of course not. And you shouldn't either. But the boundary thing is also things like, you know, if in your marriage you protect 2 weekends a month and those are times for you and your spouse to go and have date nights or whatever that may look like, then you need to put the ministry down and do that for the health of you and your relationships. If that looks like special time with your children, the ministry will survive without you. There's just great freedom in that statement, so I'm just going to say it again. The ministry will survive without you. God can use a rock. He chose to use us. Okay? And so I just feel like for some of you, you need to be able to have that burden lifted off of you that the ministry rises and falls with you. It doesn't. It's God's ministry. And sometimes we are a hindrance to God doing the work because we have somehow thought that it was our ministry. Okay. Staying spiritually healthy. It's a big one. We could talk all night on staying spiritually healthy. Everything that led to you becoming a leader are the things that will keep you healthy when you're a leader. And so sometimes, if we aren't careful, we get very busy ministering to all of the others in our life that we neglect the basics in our life. So I'm going to go back to them. You already know what they are, but you may need to be reminded. You need to be in the Word regularly. There have been times in my life, and I'm just being very transparent with you because I think that that's what you need to hear, recently, where I would go through and I don't know why I'm overwhelmed and I don't know, it just seems like there's my things to do list continues to grow. There's so many needs to meet. I'm frustrated with my family. I'm frustrated with women in the ministry. And all of a sudden, it's because I've been busy for days on end and didn't get in the Word. Do you understand that? I've been busy in ministry and didn't get in the Word. There's something so wrong with that statement. And yet, particularly for those that are on staff at a church, you can get so busy in ministry that you neglect God's Word, the foundation of why you do what you do anyway. And so, again, this is not new news to any of you. It's basic things, but we get away from them. And so, are you constantly in communion with the Father? Are you constantly seeking His guidance for the ministry? Do you know, I was aware of this complete anger that I had with my staff and with the women that we were ministering to not long ago, a few months back. And I thought, what is wrong with me? I'm just so irritated with everybody's problems. And I really thought through the fact that I had not been in the Word like I needed to be. Shut my office door, and I just got in God's Word, turned on worship music, and I said, Lord, you have to speak to me. I'm not kidding you. And I didn't put a time frame on it. I was willing to sit there all day because that's just how desperate I was. Sometimes that's where we get in ministries, desperate. 30 minutes later, I'm in the Word. I'm reading. I'm highlighting. I'm just, you know, just trying to hear from God as best I can. And I was filled with God's power. I mean, just filled with this power. Like, I could conquer the world. Where are the single moms we need to reach now? I mean, it just was like, there was just this 180 degree. Nothing about my things to do list had changed. No less women needed to be reached. No less single parents were in my community. No less meetings for the week. But what happened was the power of experiencing God's presence made my burden light. And so that is some of what you need to just remember, is that, gosh, of course, this is what got me there. Why am I not doing it regularly? The other things are, I have seen so many times people that are in leadership begin to neglect regular church attendance when they're not leading or teaching. You cannot be in the Word or learning or only attending church whenever you're giving to someone else. Like, oh, okay, well, I've got to go Sunday morning because I've got to teach Sunday school class on Sunday morning. That can't be what it's about. Ministry has to be way secondary. That has to be the secondary thing. The first thing is always your relationship with Christ. All right, let's talk about accountability. Loaded topic. I had a pastor in my church recently tell me that the higher up, for lack of a better word, in ministry that you go, the less accountability sometimes lies there. It's a shame. It's an unintended. But who wants to call out your women's pastor or your lead pastor or your associate pastor? In other words, who is holding them accountable? Who is holding you accountable? Who in your life is holding you accountable? Can you immediately answer that question? You immediately know, not just your boss if you're on staff at the church. I know that most of you aren't on staff, but it's not about being your boss. It's about who in your life knows the things you struggle with spiritually, who in your life is willing to ask the tough questions, tell you the tough things, and be real and honest with you, and hold your foot to the fire. Who in your life does that? If you can't answer that immediately, I'm willing to bet you that you are not in strong accountability relationship. You cannot do ministry not in strong accountability relationship. Guys, how many church leaders and pastors and Sunday school teachers have we seen fall through the years? How many? And how devastating is it for a Sunday school class or a church when that happens, when somebody falls? And generally, it's because they have not had the accountability in their lives. It not only affects you when you don't have accountability, it affects everyone else that you're ministering to. You, because God has now given you a ministry, He has given you people that you are beginning to pour into spiritually, you have to stay healthy. Other people's lives are at stake. Literally, other people's lives are at stake. It's a matter of life and death. And so you have to begin to think through things like accountability. I've also found that a lot of leaders are type A personalities. We're just get-her-done types. We're just, you know, give me a list of things to do and I'm going to get it done. That's what makes you a great leader. That's why you've been identified as a great leader. But sometimes those personality types find it very difficult to submit to accountability. And so that may be some of you in the room. I don't know if it is. Maybe if it's just for one person, it's worth it for me to say that. But be sure that you've got that in your life. You know, accountability keeps us safe, and it offers perspective that we sometimes don't have. And the last thing is about sabbaticals. Now, this one is something that I know that some of you are very new in ministry, and so this may not be something that's pertinent in your life, but for others of you, you have been leading in ministry for a long time. Is there anybody in here that has founded a ministry? Like maybe you were the first one to start this Sunday school class, or maybe you there's some type of new ministry. Are there any of you in here? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Particularly if you were in on the ground level, was anybody in on the ground level of a ministry? Like kind of. Okay. Yeah. I found that a lot of times if you were in those first few years of development and it kind of becomes your baby, we all take this sense of ownership about that ministry, and I think that it happens even when you're not on the ground level, but particularly for those who have been. It's really, really hard to take a sabbatical because, again, you think that everything's going to fall apart without you. My question to you would be, if you feel like your ministry is going to fall apart without you, your Bible study, whatever team that you're leading, then have you been as an effective leader as you could have been? So the question then is, who is in my corner that can become a leader? So I'm raising up new leaders so that I can take a sabbatical. So a sabbatical is different from a rest. A rest is usually short term. A rest is usually, hey, you know what? I'm going to take off the month of June. I really need to be with my kids. They're out of school. I'm going to get a substitute teacher for the month of June. That's what I feel like God's leading me to do. Sabbatical is a longer term, specific, extended rest. And those are necessary for all of us. So let me give you some examples of that. It's not always possible for you to do it immediately. That's why I'm talking through who is on your team. All of us have to have a team. For me, I always take off during the summers. Not from work, but from leading my Bible study in my church, I always take off for the summer. When we were initially doing this particular Bible study, I felt like, no, I can't take off during the summer. We're just getting traction. The women are going to, they're going to fall back into their old pattern. You know, all of these things that we'll tell ourselves. Of course I can't take off. And what happened is I led through the summer when most other ministries were taking their break. And then by August, I was flat worn out. I was worn out. So when all the other ministries in the church were gearing back up and everybody was excited about Fall Fest and getting everybody back into their Bible studies and groups, I had been leading for a solid year with no break at all. And it created bitterness. It created exhaustion. It created the very thing that had spearheaded my desire to lead in that ministry were the things that were keeping me from being successful in my marriage, successful with my children. And so God did not put you in ministry for everything else in your life to fall apart. I have seen marriages fail because of ministry. I have seen relationships fail. I have seen children whose parents were in the ministry full time and they grew up and fell away from church because they were so sick of being abandoned by their parents because of ministry. Do you understand that the most important thing in order for you to lead others is for you to be healthy? And the sabbatical thing is something that I don't think a lot of churches are talking about. And yet we see, I read a book, Leading on Empty was the name of the book. I can't remember who wrote it, Leading on Empty. And one of the statistics that stood out to me was that the author was talking about that at the 20-year mark, about 80% of pastors quit. At the 20-year mark. Now, they may call it retiring, they may call it a lot of things, but he said that very often it's because they have worked themselves to death. And they don't feel like they have any close friends. They don't feel like they have people who truly understand how hard it is to lead in their church. And they just fall away. And the same can be true for ministry leaders as well. So please, please, please take off the time necessary. If you're new in the ministry, you're thinking, well, gosh, I just started in the ministry. We're talking about sabbaticals. But I think it's important for you to be planning hey, I need to stay healthy. I need to know where my relationship is with the Lord at all times. I need to know how I am with my children. I need to know how I am with my spouse. Are we still good? Is all that healthy and strong? Because then you lead out of that. Okay. So I'm going to open it up for questions. I want to pray over you guys before you leave, and we'll have a little extended time in prayer. But I just want to open it up. If you have something that you're really burdened by, or not necessarily burdened by, or a general question that's come up in ministry quite a bit in regards to being exhausted, I'd love to open the floor up for discussion.
Well, how do you get people to actually stand up, you know, step up?
Yeah, to help you to volunteer so that you're not so exhausted. Question of every ministry leader and pastor on earth, probably. It is a difficult thing. Let's be honest, we're talking about the majority of the church being consumers versus givers, or producers, rather. For us, one of the things that we do is that we establish servanthood as a DNA of our ministry. And so whether you're in children's ministry and you're working with very young children, or whether I know you're in single parent ministry, or whether you're in some other type, service is just part of the DNA. And so it's something we talk about a lot. Who are you serving? Why do we serve in the first place? I mean, why do you serve?
Well, So I guess the question is, do we have to teach them first when
yes,
God commands us?
Absolutely. Because this is the thing. We'll get madder than a hornet with somebody because they're not helping and they don't even know we need help. Because we feel like we've got to do it all ourselves, and we're getting madder and madder about it because I'm telling you, this is from experience. And so we absolutely have to teach them first. One of the things that we talk about a lot at our church, and it's just something that I've seen our pastoral team and other churches talk about a lot, is the towel mentality of looking for people that you can serve. Well, all of you are leaders in the room. You already have that mentality. What gave you that? What spearheaded you being a leader? Why did you step up and lead anybody?
Well, knowing that as a disciple, I'm called to love God more than my parents, brother, sister, husband, even kids, mm-hmm. my own life. So therefore, if I make a commitment to him and I want to be a disciple, I must fear him, right?
Yeah.
And then I must serve him faithfully.
Absolutely.
So, but you know, a lot of times they don't believe it. So I think the work is, then you might have to inspire them.
Right. One of the things that you can do is you're not looking for leaders, you're looking for servants. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people, especially whenever they have they're new in their walk with the Lord, or maybe they're not new in their walk with the Lord, but there's something they're struggling with that maybe you don't know about, but you look at them and they're outgoing and they are faithful, and so you say, oh, that might be a leader for the group. You know, you're looking constantly for leaders. You're actually just looking for servants first. And so people that you can give a task to that's not necessarily in leadership, but that they're faithful with and they'll take as their own. Mm-hmm. And what happens is organically, you'll begin to see people who take that and they do it with excellence, they're faithful. And that's how we have raised up almost everybody that's ever led in our ministry, has been through giving them a task that did not, especially if we weren't sure where they were spiritually, as sure as you can be about anybody, we would just give them some type of task that was not leadership, but servant. And let me tell you one of the other things we'll do. I don't wait for people to ask me to serve, because if I do, they won't. I'll just say, hey, Terry, is this your first time? Oh, would you mind terribly coming help?